GSF 90.1 in Burnaby, British Columbia.
You're listening to CJSF Radio, Simon Fraser, 90.1 FM.
You are listening to CJSF 90.1 FM on your dial, 93.9 Cable FM in Burnaby. And you are listening to Future Talk with your host, Dr. Paul Tenery, professional engineer, professional futurist, and sometimes occasional sessional instructor of future studies at Simon Fraser University. And this is a weekly show that looks at future trends and issues and important items that affect your daily life and will be affecting your life into the future. Welcome to the show. We're continuing our look at the book, The Purpose Effect, Building Meaning in Yourself, Your Role, and Your Organization by Dan Pontefract. Last show, we were looking at how to establish a role-based purpose in your organization. Next section, the career mindset. Marcia has a managerial role at a highly successful creative marketing agency. She has been at the company for just over a year. Marcia does not have any direct reports, but is part of a team of 12. There are approximately 300 people who work at this company. Since joining, Marcia has been developing her role-based competencies, learning her way around the organization, building internal and external networks, and getting various tasks and objectives accomplished. She reports to a director, James, who has been working at the organization for 4 years. However, Marcia has become disillusioned. James is the reason why. He is renowned for taking credit for ideas that surface from the team, including Marcia's. He uses these ideas to gain positive reviews from leaders at the vice president level. James also occasionally uses his power as a director to force his team to stay late, claiming senior leaders are watching, but refuses to thank any of the team leaders for actually doing so. From time to time, he remarks, there's a long list of individuals wanting to join the company. Adding insult to injury, James has issued vague threats to Marcia and his colleagues, citing potential termination if they do not complete their tasks on time. What has become very clear is that the director is doing everything in his power to become vice president. There are two roles opening up due to retirement in just over a year's time. James has also been known to hoard key pieces of client information and refuses to collaborate effectively with others in the organization lower than the director level. Ironically, he is seen as a far more positive person when in the company of other senior leaders. It is as though he is being an irrational professional. Marcia came into the organization having already achieved a sense of role purpose in her previous company and role. She knows what it means and what it takes to be passionate, innovative, and dedicated to a meaningful and engaging workplace, committed to serving all stakeholders. The organization where she previously worked had achieved a good deeds ethos. Marcia knows what a sweet spot means. This sort of mindset is not new to her. Her former leader was open, transparent, collaborative, and and most importantly, a listener. While working in San Francisco, Marcia and the company she worked for were both demonstrating purpose, personal, organizational, and role. However, James became the blocked artery of Marcia's current journey. Although she joined the New York-based organization thinking she would be able to recreate the sweet spot, and thus her role purpose, from her previous company on the West Coast, so far the new organization, it is beginning to look like she will regress into the job mindset. Marcia seems a likely candidate to be employed to perform transactional duties in return for compensation and not much else. This anonymized story outlines the damaging effect a career mindset can have on others. But the damage affects many parties. Clearly, Marcia is caught in the middle, possibly set to veer into a job mindset. But what of the other team members James has come in contact with? What of the customers? Finally, what about James? How does this fixation on power, title, and promotion help him ever achieve a sense of purpose at work or in his own life? I interviewed Dr. Linda Duxbury, noted trailblazer in the field of organizational health. Not only is she interested in researching the changing workforce and organizational dynamics, she's become a provocateur of sorts. "Look after yourself," she said to me when I asked what team members should be doing in today's work environments, particularly if it relates to the career mindset types. "Employees need to take control," she continued. "Otherwise, someone else is going to take control of their well-being at work." Linda referred to the develop, define, and decide categories of personal purpose, and the importance of being in control of one's own purpose. But my conversation with Linda reminded me of the situation between Marcia and James. James, with his career mindset firmly intact, has begun to control Marcia and her attempts to reestablish the purpose mindset she once held. Marcia is inching her way downward towards the job mindset, encroaching a percentage greater than 50% of the time. I asked Linda about it. She continued, "If you hate your boss probably hates you back." Don't keep yourself in your role if it's hurting your health, your family, and your life. Indeed, Marcia is beginning to hate her boss. Is it reciprocal? Linda published a research paper, quote, "The Implications of Subjective Career Success," unquote, where she states, quote, "An employee's achievement of fulfilling work is the strongest predictor of their attitudes towards the job and the organization," unquote. If James continues to be the blocked artery in Marcia's quest for role purpose, the bottom line is that everyone is going to end up a loser, and a spiral into the job mindset will become inevitable for Marcia and potentially others. But make no mistake, it is James' career mindset that is causing Marcia suffering and damage at work. James is determined to increase the key facets of his role, salary, title, and power. For some individuals drawn into the career mindset for the wrong reasons, money, or more of it, becomes the quest rather than outcome of good work. This frame of mind impacts many others. It is certainly impacting Marcia. Indeed, as Swarthmore psychology professor Barry Schwartz wrote in his book, Why We Work, quote, "When we say of someone that he is in it for the money, we are not merely being descriptive, we're actually passing judgment," unquote. For individuals locked into a career mindset, there's a very low level of selflessness in their demeanor and actions. When I take it to the soapbox derby, motorless wooden vehicles children build and then race against one another in public competition. When people may have helped you build your vessel on wheels, even pushing you up the hill to the start line, when the race commences, it is you against everyone and your entire quest is to win. You do not care who might be in your way. The career mindset is a form of tunnel vision, analogous to the rider in the soapbox derby. While the soapbox derby is good fun for kids, if this competitive, solo-driven mindset were how children acted all the time, trouble would be brewing in many a household. Perhaps it is comparable to the way James treated his role and his organization and how he treated Marcia. The career mindset individuals is seeking to advance personal and professional status, not stakeholder well-being. They want to win, and at all costs. The career mindset individuals is one who abuses their role in order to gain an upper hand on their colleagues, on customers, and on society. It is often manifests in the form of power and control, including much of what we've covered in other chapters in this book. Earlier, I indicated the career mindset can become a quest or a prerequisite. James, the manager, is demonstrating how the myopic and often bully-like pursuit of these sorts of attributes can denigrate a team's culture, if not besmirch a team member's personal sense of purpose. James is hell-bent in his quest and does not care about those he is negatively impacting. He has his helmet and goggles on and is racing his soapbox derby car down the hill. In contrast, though, there's also will be the team times the team member employs his career mindset as a prerequisite, a more harmonious attempt to revisit one's personal purpose. Let us consider a few different examples. A school teacher of 7 years may seek out a master's degree to prepare herself for a potential pay grade increase or vice principal opportunity. A government analyst may secure the services of a coach and or mentor to help him shift from one ministry to another. A director of sales may apply to take part in a nonprofit governance program aiming to become part of a non-for-profit board. When a team member looks to continue honing their personal purpose, developing, defining, and deciding to grow their career and experience, make no mistake, it should be encouraged. This is not a bad thing. But when the actions becomes a quest at the expense of others versus a prerequisite necessary to continue building out one's personal purpose, the differences become stark and they become dismal. In the end, what happened to Marcia? She put up with James for another 2 months, not only hoping things would change, but going above his head and speaking to the unit's vice president about the situation. Although noble and arguably the right thing to do, nothing changed. Even though the organization was demonstrating most components of the good deeds, James, the manager, remained locked into a workplace attitude that was all about power, money, and titles. In this particular example, the career mindset of James pushed Marcia to the brink of frustration, to the cusp of the job mindset. But instead of collapsing, Marcia took it upon herself to quit the company and start again. In line with Linda Duxbury's counsel, Marcia left the role in an attempt to reestablish her sweet spot and the achievement of fulfilling work. She returned to the develop, define, and decide stage of personal purpose, trying again to land in an organization that was exemplifying the good deeds and finding a role that would be purposeful for her. It took 3 more months of searching and purpose testing, but Marcia did in fact reestablish her sweet spot again. 4 years later, Marcia is still in New York, still in the same organization she moved to, and is still in complete alignment between the personal, organizational and role-based categories of the purpose effect. The purpose mindset. Dr. Jennifer L. Acker, social psychologist and professor at Stanford University's Graduate School of Business, published results proving serious involvement with things beyond oneself and one's pleasures promotes meaningfulness. She goes on to state what purpose and meaning are, linked to doing things that express and reflect the self, and in particular to doing positive things for others. Indeed, on the subject of giving to others when at work, author Adam Grant opined, quote, "You may be pleasantly surprised by the wealth of opportunities to express your values and find meaning in helping others without compromising your own success." There's more research that proves organizations and leaders who put purpose first will reap great benefits. For example, several academics analyzed the interviews of more than 18,000 people located in various countries, including the Czech and Slovak Republics, Hungary, Bulgaria, and China, regarding an individual's definition of work. The majority of team members believed work should be defined in terms of a social contribution, so that everybody contributes according to his or her abilities to the benefit of the whole community. Backing up this research is another example where academics analyzed work design theory of motivational, social, and work context characteristics. From more than 220,000 participants, research analyzed 260 different academic studies and hundreds of mainstream media articles. They concluded, perhaps it should not be surprising that experience meaningfulness is the best mediator of the relationships between motivational characteristics and work outcomes. Quite simply, if there is to be a purpose in the work for team members, their output must benefit and must have a positive impact on all stakeholders, including themselves. To underline the point, researchers wrote, "The ultimate goal of human beings is to pursue meaning in our work and in our work lives."
You are listening to CJSF 90.1 FM on your dial, 93.9 cable FM in Burnaby, and you are listening to Future Talk with your host, Dr. Paul Tenery, Instructor of Future Studies at Simon Fraser University. We're now going to take a short break and listen to a very important public service announcement.
With thousands of homeless animals entering SPCA shelters each year, pet overpopulation is a serious problem in BC, but it's one you can help prevent. Spay or neuter your companion animal today. From our perspective, every homeless animal on our streets or in our shelters is one too many. For more information on spaying and neutering initiatives, visit the BC SPCA website at www.spca.bc.ca.
Welcome back. You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, 93.9 cable FM in Burnaby. And you are listening to Future Talk with your host, Dr. Paul Tenery, professional futurist.
Welcome back. We are looking at the book, The Purpose Effect, Building Meaning in Yourself, Your Role, and Your Organization by Dan Pontefract. I mentioned Dr. A.R. Elangovan of the University of Victoria earlier in this book. During one of our lunches, I asked Elango why purpose is so important in one's role at work. When someone's role offers direction and criteria for making important decisions, he said, when it exposes us to the joys of continuous growth, sparks creativity, builds resilience towards setbacks, inspires a quest for excellence, and leaves us with a sense of profound satisfaction. It makes for work-life balance issues moot and allows us to be fully and truly present at work. He later added, and when one can feel so alive, just being in a role with purpose, what more can one ask for? Ilango believes the authenticity that is rooted in such clarity of purpose motivates team members in their roles to greater effort and contributions. Apple co-founder Steve Jobs delivered a commencement speech at Stanford University in 2005 that has been viewed several million times on YouTube. He closed his speech reminding us what was displayed on the back cover of the Whole Earth Catalog's final issue. It was a photograph of an early morning country road, and the caption beneath it read, quote, "Stay hungry, stay foolish," unquote. Jobs urged the graduates of Stanford to do the same, as he had done in his life. Stay hungry, stay foolish. Tim Cook succeeded Jobs as CEO of Apple. He too delivered a commencement speech. In 2015, 10 years after Jobs' speech at Stanford, Cook spoke on the National Mall in Washington to graduates of George Washington University. Cook pleaded with the graduates to seek out a role and an organization that infused with moral purpose and to find work that pays the rent, puts food on the table, and lets you do what is right, good, and just, unquote. He suggested individuals do not have to choose between doing good and doing well, that work ought to be about improving the lives of others. He encouraged attendees to be impatient with progress, but perhaps more importantly, he wanted graduates to be in the full role of purpose, passion, and meaning. Otherwise, he concluded, it's just a job, and life is too short for that. Meaningful, positive, and motivating work that improves the lives of others is indeed the purpose mindset of a role. I argue that Cook's commencement speech has far greater gravitas than what Jobs urge us to consider. Many researchers do not recommend team members stay hungry and foolish. On the contrary, they have proven that individuals who establish their purpose in work and elsewhere in their lives have discovered an alignment between their role, their organization, and themselves. One that provides a flourishing sense of meaning and worth in all of their actions. But it does not magically happen. The purpose mindset takes action. It takes leadership. In 1990, at the age of 19, Brian Scudamore started a junk removal business called the Rubbish Boys. It was to pay for university, Brian divulged to me in an interview. With 11 employees and about $500,000 in revenues that year, Brian more than paid off his tuition fees with the startup venture. A few years later, the Rubbish Boys became 1-800-GOT-JUNK. His original partners did not understand the true purpose of being in business, so Brian dissolved the Rubbish Boys partnership and started anew. By 2015, Brian has successfully launched three more brands, O2E, Wow One Day Paint, and You Move Me. Among 1-800-GOT-JUNK, employing more than 300 people at his headquarters, while indirectly employing thousands of people across the globe working for franchise partners of the Scudamore's empire. But the goal, after university tuition was paid for, of course, was not profit or revenues or success per se. The quest was purpose. It was about a meaningful life and a place of work. Brian wanted his role to be a giving role. Equally important, he wanted his team to feel the same way. Brian said, I definitely have an entrepreneurial spirit, but I quickly realized my gift, my purpose, became the impact I could have on others and on the community. I always say, make meaning, not money, because when you have meaning in your life, you create a greater purpose for your company and your society. You don't have to worry about a thing. Brian does not believe money or power makes people happy, nor does he think it delivers any sense of purpose in one's role. You need money for freedom and to make choices, he continued. But look at Wall Street. There are a lot of people there living quarter to quarter, a lot of unhappy people who are not paying attention to the moments of life, making connections with people, or showing that they care. These type of people don't get that it's about making meaning, not making money. Brian's organization is one that empowers team members to make the right decisions, whether it is removing junk, painting houses, or moving furniture. Brian believes the role of each team's member is a manifestation of doing good in life and in society. But interestingly, role purpose for the firm's team members and for Brian actually comes not solely because everyone is empowered. It comes as a result of being able to contribute to a community. If you look at the definition of company, he explained, it's simply a gathering of great men and women working together. A term company is more synonymous with a machine. Think of our organization and our team members more of a community doing great things for people through roles that have been created to deliver a purpose. The ultimate arbitrator of alignment between an individual's personal purpose and an organization's purpose is for the team members to achieve a purpose mindset in their roles. Great leaders like Tim Cook have come to the realization that when an individual performs in a role so that meaning and fulfillment is demonstrated, good things can happen for all stakeholders. After taking the reins from Jobs, Cook began investing in community outreach, volunteer programs, and other forms of philanthropy as part of Apple's restated purpose. To reiterate Joseph Campbell, perhaps the purpose mindset is about the possibility of bliss at work. If we treat the right people to our organizations and in the community, who are then able to inspire others, the alignment is unmistakable and purpose is their role and is easily attainable, Brian concluded. When the purpose mindset is the role has been achieved, a distinct alignment between an individual's personal purpose and the organization's greater purpose is paramount. Without it, team members will end up in a job or career mindset greater than 50% of their time at work, pushing the sweet spot further out of reach. If these two mindsets materialize more often than not, then yes, the point that work incubates a bubble-like protection will ring true. But when the purpose mindset is being demonstrated by large swaths of team members for the predominant portion of time in their roles, this is truly when the sweet spot forms and when community grows. And when community grows, the community task is formed, the focus of our next chapter.
You have been listening to Future Talk on CJSF 90.1 FM on your dial, 93.9 Cable FM in Burnaby. And Future Talk is a weekly show on important issues that affect you and your future. And this is Dr. Teneri, professional futurist, reminding you that if you're not willing to make the effort to invent your own future, then others will be only too happy to invent it for you. See you next week.
Listening to CJSF Radio, Simon Fraser, 90.1 FM.
You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting live from Burnaby Mountain, Burnaby, BC.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Viewpoints. On this week's show, in Winnipeg, Manitoba, a workshop explores how theater can be used to build leadership skills.
Well, I'm taking something that I would do in an acting class.